Good morning. We are so glad that you are worshiping with us here at West today. My name is Andrea Smith. I'm the pastor here. And there are two core values we have at West that we're going to hit on today. One is fun and the other is relevant. So this morning we are going to do something that I hope you walk away thinking, oh, that was fun and also relevant. You know, everybody needs to know how to tie your shoes. And if you don't know already, well, if you're here, you probably do know how to tie your shoes, but you can impress your friends with this new mad skill that you are going to get out of worship today. Now, before we do that, we are in a message series about taking steps, 10,000 steps, Fitbit, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we are doing a walking challenge. And if you didn't do it last week, you can do it this week. It starts over today. We clear the tally of steps. We had somebody that took over 89,000 steps this week. We had somebody that took over 100,000, but he forgot to log it in. So if you don't log it in, you don't win the prize. So Tyler Entrekin, will you come up and receive your walking prize today? It was a pretty tight race. We had several folks that were within 10,000 steps of one another. So Tyler, thank you for participating in the West Walking Challenge. Give Tyler a hand. Now, before we get to the serious part of the worship service, I really want you to do this with me. I promise you'll walk away going, wow, well, that was interesting. And you might walk away going, wow, that was a total waste of my time. But, you know, hey, it'll be better than the sermon, I promise. Get your cell phone out, or if you have a shoe on that has a shoelace on it, you can grab that. Does anybody not have access to a shoelace? Anybody? Raise your hand. Not that we'd see you. Raise your hand. Franz, do you need a shoelace? You got one? All right. Everybody grab your shoelace and grab your cell phone, or you can tie it around your ankle or something. Now, in just a second, you're going to see a video that teaches you how to tie your shoes. Anybody need a shoelace? Wave your hands in the air. We need one down here. Jennifer needs one. I'd hate for you to lose out on this opportunity today. So before you watch the video, I want you to take your phone and tie your shoelace around your phone, just like this. Now, the whole point of this message series is talking about taking steps and where do our steps lead us in our lives and what do we do with those steps that we take. Today, we're going to talk about taking different steps and what would happen if we actually do things differently. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you to tie your shoes in a different way, to learn how to do that. How many of you learned to tie your shoes very easily as a young child? Who can remember? Well, for me, it was such a traumatic experience. I actually can remember. It was awful. For whatever reason, my brain just could not process learning to tie my shoes. It was so bad that finally my family, like different family members, would try to teach me, and they threatened me that I could not go shopping and have a toy until I learned to tie my shoes. So I buckled down and I made it very intentional. So, have you got your cell phone and your shoelace? You need to tie it around there just one time like that. And now I want you to watch this video. It's a YouTube video about how to learn this new way. They say this new way is easier, okay? So I'm going to let you be the judge of that after this is over. Take a look at this video clip.
Want to know how to tie shoelace in 2 seconds? You won't believe how simple it is. This is how we do it fast. Now, we're gonna slow down and show you every step. First, tie your laces as usual. Then, put 2 little fingers underneath. Now, your right pointing finger and the thumb goes under the shoelace and left goes over it. Grab the opposite loops at the same time and pull through tight.
All right, are you ready? Can you watch it again? Okay, one more time. One more time. This is your point not to hear a message.
Want to tie shoelace in 2 seconds? You won't believe how simple it is. This is how we do it fast. Now, we're going to slow down and show you every step. First, tie your laces as usual. Then, put two little fingers underneath. Now, your right pointing finger and the thumb goes under the shoelace and left goes over it. Grab the opposite loops at the same time and pull through tight.
Jennifer, Lindsay, have you got it? Very good, very good. All right, I'll walk you through it just one time, okay? So this is what Scott and I do on Saturday nights. It's a happening place at the Smith household. All right, so and we got in an argument about 10 times doing it. So you take your phone, you've got your shoestrings. Now take your pinky fingers and have the shoelace on your pinky fingers. And then you need like your thumb and your index fingers to do like pointer things like that. All right, now you take your pointer fingers and your right hand, this is the way I do it, you go under the shoelace at the top and your left hand goes under the shoelace on the bottom. And then you come up and then you have to do a little twist. I know. And then, wait, this isn't. See, I can't even remember from last night. Huh? Yeah, Scott's going to come show us how to do it. Here.
I don't need a microphone.
Yes, you do need a microphone. The people online want to know how to do this.
Okay. It rests on your pinkies. These two, pinch them together, your thumb and your forefinger. This one goes over the top. This one goes under the bottom. And then you twist and pull, and I did it wrong. See, hold on.
Woo!
And I've been practicing.
He did it wrong, huh?
This one goes under, over. You have to do this little twist thing right here to get it on there. And see, I'm nervous when, you know, 5,000 people are watching me.
I wish there were 5,000 people watching you. I'll send you the link to the YouTube video later, and you can spend lots of time later today learning how to tie your shoes. They say it is easier. They say you can learn to tie your shoes in 2 seconds. You can know how to tie your shoes. You can do it in 2 seconds. So we're going to talk about walking in different ways. So right now we're going to have a little fun, and we're going to hear the song Walk Like an Egyptian. So I am glad that you have joined with us, whether you are here in person or online. If you're worshiping with us for the first time, we extend a very special welcome to you. We invite you to join in at our first-time guest tent, our new-to-West tent, and let us know that you're here. There's a free gift waiting for you. This morning, we are going to talk about walking differently. What would happen if we walked differently, or if we even began to think about walking differently and looking at things differently? Today, we received, you might be a United Methodist pastor in this room. We do have some clergy that worship with us. There was an email that went out from our bishop, and this next week is an important week in the life of our denomination, our annual conference. It's our week to pray for the commission on a way forward. Each different annual conference So let me give you a quick United Methodism lesson. There are these things called districts, and districts make up an annual conference. Last Sunday, my boss, the district superintendent, was here worshiping with us. We're a part of the Metro District. Then we're a part of a greater Western North Carolina conference, and those are all the United Methodist churches from like Asheboro to as far west in North Carolina as you go, like Murphy. All the United Methodist churches, we make up a conference, and then all across the United States and across countries, across our world, are other conferences, and they make up the United Methodist denomination. We are a worldwide denomination, which is an amazing thing, a wonderful thing, something we celebrate, and it also poses unique challenges for us. If you are paying attention in the news at all, you will see other denominations that have split over different interpretation of Scripture and different issues that are facing Christians and where we stand on those issues. So Methodism is no different. And at General Conference last year, there were a lot of petitions put forward to change our language around the issue of homosexuality and our stance on that. And And you can imagine that we ended up on polar ends of the spectrum, and they couldn't come to a resolve, a healthy resolve. So what the bishops, the Council of Bishops, decided to do was call together a commission. So there are representatives from all over the world, and they are meeting right now in an ongoing manner. They're taking a few weeks off, then they meet again. And so as a denomination, we have decided to do what Jesus taught us to do, which is to pray our way forward for this commission in hopes that they will find a common ground so that the United Methodist denomination, which is stronger, unified, does not split like many of the other denominations have done. And so if you hear about that on the news, that's what it is. I will send out a church-wide email later today to everybody that gets our Friday e-news. If you don't, go to the info station after worship and sign up for that. Our bishop has written a prayer, and there are prayers for every day this week. I do invite you to pray. We believe in the power of prayer. And so I invite you to be a part of that as we try to find a way forward as a denomination unified, because again, we are stronger together than we are apart. We are going to be doing the Shack in a few weeks on Friday night, March the 3rd. We're going to have movie night. And so believe it or not, we actually do need you to register for this ahead of time. I'm a last minute kind of person, so I think the church follows the leadership of me. So we tend to do things at the last minute. This is something we actually need you to do ahead of time. By next Sunday night at 9 p.m., we need you to go ahead and register for your tickets and pay for those, because since it is a new movie, we have to buy the tickets ahead of time. So if you would please do that for you and your kids, we would be grateful. I'm really excited about the next message series in the Shack. And yes, I do know, for those of you who've asked, I do know that it's a controversial book. I'm not going to be teaching it as scripture per se, but I do think there are some powerful theological insights that are contained in that book. And I also don't believe that God quit speaking to human beings when the Bible was finally agreed upon. So we are going to do the Shack. I'm excited about that leading up to Easter. But today we are going to talk about what it means to walk and see things differently. There is a passage of scripture that I think is very telling and would lead us to perhaps look at the way that we follow Jesus a little differently. It's taken from the book of John, and it's in chapter 1, and this is when Jesus is calling his disciples. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip, after Jesus asked him to come with him and said, "Follow me," Philip went and found Nathanael. And he said to him, "We have found him. We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Now, Nathanael, this is his response to Philip. He says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." The message series that we do here at West come from you. Periodically throughout the year, we'll send out emails or surveys and ask you, what is it that you would like to hear messages about? What is it that you're looking for? You don't need just my hot air. There's things that you want more information on. And so last year when we did that, resoundingly, you replied and you said, "I want to know how to share my faith. I love West. I love the church community, and I think it's made such a difference in my life, but I have no idea what to do with that. I don't know how to encourage others to come to church, and I don't know how to lead others to experience the transformational love of Christ that has changed me." So that's actually what this message series is about, our taking steps. It's about how we share our faith journey. And the bottom line is, the answer comes very simply. It's just a little different than I think what we've perhaps been taught growing up or what we've heard from others. It's about relationships. That's the bottom line. Tracts, believe it or not, the little pre-printed, you know, booklets that you find on your doors or your cars, ultimately, in the big scheme of things, I don't really think they're that effective. Relationships are. And so the way that we share our faith is by having relationships with people. It can be something as simple as a conversation at Walmart when you're checking out. I guarantee you, if you buy food for the backpack ministries and you have like 20 cans of something, it opens up an opportunity for conversation. Or if you buy like 20 pair of tennis shoes for the back to school bash, it opens up conversation opportunities. I have wested more people at Walmart and Food Lion in Denver than I can remember. Now, do they ever come to church? I don't know. I think a couple have actually worshiped online over the years. But the bottom line is, if we will just open ourselves up to having conversations with each other, it makes such a huge difference. But when we do that, we have to start looking at things from their eyes and their perspectives. We can't just assume that they're going to see things the way that we do. So that's the bottom line of today. You see, Philip said to Nathanael, hey, I've encountered Jesus. It's the coolest thing ever. He is the one that we've heard about from Moses and all the other people. I've met him. He wants us to come follow him. And Nathanael's gut reaction, his response is, does anything good come out of Nazareth? That's, you know, a pretty snarky answer to, I don't want to follow him. He can't really be that good. Nazareth, really? Nathanael had to change the way that he saw things in order to be open to Jesus. I want to show you a slide. In the book of John, these are all the different names of Jesus that the disciples use. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Son of God. Lamb of God. Rabbi, which translates to mean teacher. Messiah, which translates to mean the anointed one. Son of Joseph from Nazareth. King of Israel. And Son of Man. These are all the different ways that the disciples knew Jesus. Now, why would there be so many ways? And did they all call Jesus all of those names? No, actually, one disciple would refer to him as Son of Man. Another would refer to him as Rabboni or Rabbi. Another would refer to him as Messiah, meaning anointed one. They all knew him in a different way. Why is that? Well, they all experienced him differently. They all had different encounters with him. And so when they encountered him in a different way, it meant something different to each of them. It was about that personal relationship. And if we'll have personal relationships with one another and get to know one another, then things change. But that involves us being vulnerable. It involves us learning to see things in a new way. That's why I had us tie the shoes in a different way. Scott, back in the fall, he works for Mooresville Graded Schools. He came home after one of their staff development days, and he said, oh, I learned this cool thing today. I said, oh, really? You know, and I thought he was going to talk about leadership or something. He's like, we learned how to tie our shoes. I'm like, well, I hope you knew that before, you know, 40-some years, but what are you talking about? He goes, no, it's a new way, and it's easier, and it's quicker, and frankly, I just blew him off. I'm like, I don't need to know how to tie my shoes. It was traumatic the first time I learned it. I don't need to do it again, and he kept talking about it, and then he did another staff development thing, and they used it to teach the point that, you know, different people see things and learn things differently. Kids learn differently, so as educators, we have to understand that. Well, if we teach that about how we teach our kids, why don't we apply those lessons to how we have relationships with one another? And why is it that we end up judging first and we don't look at things from the eyes of the other person? I'm going to be political for just a second. I normally am not. And so just bear with me for a second. But I really feel like I need to say this. I said it a few weeks ago. I just think it's important. Whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, and whether you like his wife or not, last night they had some rally in Florida, and she opened with the Lord's Prayer. Now, I know about separation of church and state and all that kind of stuff, but the thing that I was most fascinated with, and this is my political point, is that I don't think there's anything they can do to make anybody happy. We fuss about him not being a Christian, and we fuss about him not being a man of faith, and then his wife prays at a rally, and now we're condemning her for praying. Now, I am not endorsing him as a candidate at all or endorsing her. I am just saying that we always, as human beings, look for the negative, it seems. And if I've ruffled your feathers, then truth is point, case in point. And if we're going to be followers of Christ, if we're going to be like Nathaniel, we've got to change the way we see things. We've got to not always look with a negative lens first. We've got to be more open-minded. We've got to learn to see things in new ways. We judge entire groups of people. The whole Islamic faith, we judge them by some people that are terrorists. The entire Islamic and Muslim faith, they're not terrorists, folks. And people that we want to keep out of our nation, I guess I am preaching politics, and this is social justice, and I'm sorry. We're just called to look like Jesus. We're called to follow like Jesus. And our denomination, really, we as leaders in our faith, in order for us to come as one and agree on an issue, means we're going to have to see things from the eyes of the people who disagree with us. That's the only way we're ever going to find common ground. And frankly, it is one of the reasons that I love this faith community, because we can agree to disagree. We had people vote for both parties, Democrat and Republican. We agree on issues differently. So basically, we disagree, but we agree to disagree. That would be what it means to follow Jesus. And that requires us to tear down our walls and tear down the way that we see things and maybe just look at it from the perspective of the other people and ask ourselves, why are they doing what they're doing? And what makes them think and feel and believe that way? At General Conference, I was closely watching the debate over the issue of homosexuality, because one of West Core values is all means all people, all races, all genders, all socioeconomic status, walks of life, everything. We believe that all people are welcome here, and that is who we always will be as followers of Christ. So if the denomination splits, it really does matter to us. We will have to choose a side. One of the things that I thought was most powerful in the testimonies of the people that took the floor at General Conference and stood up to speak on the issue is, we can't vote on this and we cannot make a decision this week because we don't take the time to get to know the people who think differently than we do. What changed things for Nathaniel? What changed things for him? Listen to what Jesus replies with. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." When Jesus revealed to Nathanael that he knew a little more about what was going on than what Nathanael already understood him to know, it changed the way that Nathanael viewed Jesus. And he saw him as the King of Israel. That was the Messiah that they had been taught was coming. It changed things for him. If we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to at least be open to seeing things differently. And when we do, then guess what? We lead people to encounter Jesus. It doesn't mean we have to change our minds. It doesn't mean that we have to think of the way that we view things as wrong and that we need to be changed. That's not my point. My point is, if we're going to build relationships with other people that are at a different part of their faith journey than we are, perhaps a person of no faith or a person of a different faith, then we have to be willing to put our ideas aside for a little while and just listen and see where they're coming from. We have to take steps at being a little different. The very first adult baptism that we had as a church, as a faith community, happened at our first preview service on Easter. We were about 6 months out from launching, and we had a young man named Ibrahim, and he was converting from the Islamic faith to Christianity. Now, how did that happen? It is not because we gave him a little piece of paper or we put him on a prayer list or we told him he was wrong. There was a lady that he encountered at work, and she was a woman of faith. He ended up with a very, very tragic case of lymphoma. He ended up having to have a bone marrow transplant, ended up at Duke, almost died. The whole time that he went through all that, this lady that went to West, this lady of faith, just cared for him. She made sure that he had some food to eat, and his mom was living overseas, so she sort of like adopted him as her own son, and she just said, "We're praying for you." Over and over again. That's all. Just, "We're praying for you." She didn't make him pray with her or anything like that. And over years, see, this stuff doesn't just happen overnight. Over years, he started asking questions. "Tell me a little about your faith. Tell me a little about your church. Tell me a little about Jesus." I always say, if we can just get people to the place of Jesus, Jesus does the rest. How can you argue with Jesus? And ultimately, he asked if he could talk with me. I didn't know what to do in that situation, so I was just honest. I told him that there are things in Scripture that I don't understand, and that there's things in there that, truthfully, I don't agree with. It talks about slavery. He knew every one of those controversial passages in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you know, the ones that say we should have slaves and you can only wear one type of fabric and you can't eat certain foods and you stone people for certain transgressions, all those passages. He knew every one. But he didn't know Jesus. So I had a chance to share with him about Jesus by having a relationship with him and by being willing to look at things from his perspective. His faith was very, very important to him, his Islamic faith. For the last 2 weeks in worship, we have prayed for Aram Lumley. Aram is the son of Adam, one of our guitarists, one of our worship leaders, one of our staff here at West. 2 weeks ago, when Adam first went to the hospital, they transferred Aram from Lake Norman to CMC, much bigger hospital and a much more diverse population. After I saw Adam, come on out. After I saw Adam that second or third day when he was at the hospital, he said something to me that has stuck with me ever since. And I asked him to share about that statement with you today.
Morning. Check. First, you may want to know, my son is in a hospital bed on the edge of the forest, just about to come out. We're really, really close. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about you. It occurred to me one morning that the hospital makes a level playing field. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what kind of money you have. Everybody that's a patient there pretty much doesn't want to be there and has a problem. And everybody that's visiting doesn't want to be there either, except for maybe in the maternity ward. And, you know, I've never been through a situation like this. I've never, ever even gone through hospice with parents. My grandparents died at very old ages in their sleep. Like, I just never dealt with anything like this. And once the surrealism wore off a couple days into it, one morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, I was just walking around the grounds, and I saw a woman in a hijab with her little 3-year-old son, and he was being a 3-year-old boy. And I just it really hit me then how much of a level playing field it was being in a hospital. And I said, you know, I wonder if that woman is getting the love that I've been given. I mean, my phone was blowing up. My Facebook account was blowing up. I'm getting phone calls and gift cards. And it just, what you folks did reminded me that I can't be 300 or thousands of people, but I can be one. I went out of my way, and I mean, this woman probably thought I was nuts. I almost got in her face, and I just smiled at her and kept walking. So that was my thing. I'm going to do smiling, and I'm going to do hold doors open. I don't care who you are. I got behind these three people, and I'm just going to be honest with you. This woman made me look obese. She had hair down here. It was falling out in the back. She had two men with them. They were in overalls. They smelled like all kinds of stuff. And I kind of walked past them on the way into the elevator, and I was waiting for it, the elevator came, and they were here with me. So I step in, I hold the door open, and I'm like, come in, and I smiled at them, thank you, sir, that kind of thing. I've been just doing it on and on. In fact, I have a great one with Andrea and my wife. We went into an elevator. A lot of these seem to revolve around elevators. And there was this, it looked like six very tiny people about this tall. And they weren't speaking English. I could tell they looked a little confused. And I said, I know, I'm doing my doorman thing. I hold her, come on in. Well, it looked like a clown car, and there was more. And there was, I don't know, 15 of them. And the funny thing was, I hear, Adam, and like that, it's Andrea. And I look over, and my wife's elbow is pretty much like in her ribs and blocking her face. I mean, these people are pointing, and they're getting into the corner of this elevator. And they looked at me, and I said, come on, we're going to test this elevator and see if it can really get to the top, you know? And when we got up to the 10th floor, I didn't hear anyone speak English. One woman near the front turned around to me and said, thank you. Now, look, I'm not saying this because I'm anything special. You guys did that to me. That's what the church is. That's what it means when God says he won't leave us or forsake us. We have to be that. It's not just you and the Holy Spirit all alone. The people around you, the community, the things that you can do to lift somebody up by holding the door open or telling them, you know, thank you or smiling or when you pay for it, all the things you do, that was all because of you. I never would have dreamt. My brain was with thinking about my son, but every time I left that room, I said, I'm going to give some West love to every one of these people I see. So I want to thank you. You guys have made something that's been really, really hard, really, really easy. So thanks so much. I appreciate the time.
When we offer love to people, it changes things. When we are Jesus to people, it changes things. Friday night late, my Facebook thing popped up, Messenger Facebook popped up, and it was a message from somebody. I didn't know who they were. I do tend to friend people that I don't know who they are because West has a reach much further beyond Mooresville. And it was one of the nurses from the ICU. And Adam had left a touch on her life. And she had been praying for Aram. So she befriended me on Facebook and then wrote just to see how he was doing because she knew he was very sick. I wrote Adam, I said, you're not going to believe it, but your kindness and your love that you are sharing because West has loved you so much has resonated with a nurse when Aram first went in the ICU. He goes, well, I didn't give West information out to anybody. I said, apparently you didn't have to. She knew your name. And she searched it on Facebook. Folks, that's how we lead people to Christ. And that was what you asked me a year ago. Tell me how to lead people to Jesus. All we have to do is be nice to each other, to love one another. And then we look like Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, will you help us open our eyes and see how it is that we are to step so that we can look more like you and be more like you in all situations, whether they challenge the way that we see things and believe things or not. God, your love changes things. Will you use us to be people, to bring about that change? In Christ's name, amen. I want you to take a look at this picture on the screen. And I want you, as you look at it, to see what it is that you see. What is it? Oh, dear. You spoiled the surprise. Some of you see a tree, right? Clap if you see a tree. Okay, good. You people are way smarter than I gave you credit for. Now, show the next slide. The tree also has faces. And some of you saw that before I wanted you to. Yeah, I know, it's right there. You know, when you look at that, we all see something differently. When we look at other people that are on this earth with us, we're called to be like Jesus and be willing to see things differently. When Nathaniel saw something different, it changed everything for him. That's the way that we offer people Jesus. And there are no more beautiful arms that hold us together as humanity than Jesus. Go and offer those arms to everyone. In Christ's name, amen.